Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord. It has truly been a blessing to be here this morning already. I was very blessed with the singing and the enthusiasm of getting your hands up and your selections, and it was just a real blessing. Thank you for that. Thank you for the thoughts that were shared, Alvin and John. Truly, faith is, God has provided a remedy for our sin, right? Ephesians tells us that by grace we're saved. But how's that grace made available to me? You know, it's of no avail to me at all. It don't do me any good at all. Until I believe it. Until it says we're saved by grace through faith. Faith is a very, very important ingredient in our life. If we don't believe it's for me, then it does us no good. So thank you. I was very, very much encouraged. Why don't we stand and have a word of prayer? Father, this morning, once again, we thank you for the privilege that we have of gathering and seeking you, Lord, to worshiping you through song, Lord. Father, we're so thankful for the hymns that we have. We have a heritage that is a tremendous heritage, as we've heard already this morning. Lord, we're thankful. We thank you, Lord, that you have, within each one of us, has been helping us to, that our faith is continuing to get strengthened more and more. And we're thankful, Lord, for the words that we've heard this morning again. We're thankful, Father, for your goodness toward us. Father, we do pray that you would be with me here as I share these thoughts that you've laid upon my heart. We pray, Father, for inspiration. We pray, Lord, that you would quicken your word. Father, we know that it can be a dead letter to us, or it can be words of life. And so we pray this morning that it would be words of life to us. So we commit our next few moments here into your hand, just asking, Lord, that you would have your way in each one of our hearts and lives. For your name's sake, Lord, we commit this service into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me be seated. Sorry. So, the last several messages that I preached were about Christ being formed in us and different ways that he does that. And this morning, there's another message that the Lord has laid on my heart in that way. So as we, sorry, I have this thing in my throat. The first message that we shared was how Christ is the Word. And if we want Christ to be formed in us, we will have to spend much time in His Word. Second, when we did, we looked at preparing our hearts in prayer, so when the hard things of life come, that Christ again would be formed in us. When God does this work in our hearts and our lives, there's usually pain. It's not something that just happens. But God only chastens those that He loves. So this morning we want to look at Christ being formed in us through abiding in Him. Abiding in Him. Let's turn to John 15 and we'll read the first 17 verses there. (Clears throat) It says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the word cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I in ye, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Today we're not looking so much at the fruit on the vine, but abiding in him so that fruit will come. So if we take an apple tree, it's not mature, it's not ready, an apple on a tree, I should say. I brought an apple along. If we have an apple on a tree, and it's not mature, it's not ready. You know, at one point, this apple was green. This apple wasn't always red. It wasn't red when it was a little bitty apple. It was a green apple. But it was a perfect little apple. And the reason that it became the apple that it is, and it turned color the way it did, is it stayed on the tree, right? It abided in the vine. It abided on the tree. It stayed there. I just brought it along for a bit of an illustration. It stayed connected to the vine. And that apple, this apple was, as long as it stayed on the vine there, it brings glory to God, right? That's what God has created everything to bring glory to him. And so this apple on this tree, on this branch, continues to bring glory to God as long as it stays connected. I'm not saying it's not bringing glory to him today, but for sake of illustration, as long as it's attached to the vine, it brings glory to his name. And that is how it is with you and I. We bring glory to God when we do what God has created us to do. The apple doesn't have a choice, but you and I do. The apple can never be anything else but an apple. God has created it to be an apple. It will always be an apple, and it will never be anything else. So we compare a natural fruit tree to our spiritual life. It doesn't completely follow through, but there's a lot of things that we can learn from it. You know, if a windstorm comes through and these apples are on this tree, after a strong wind or something, you can go out and you can find these apples laying on the floor. Well, one of the ways that it doesn't follow through is once that apple has fallen, it can never again be attached. But you and I, we can. God is merciful and I'm not saying that we can be attached one day and the next not, then again the next day and then again the following day not. That's not being abiding in Christ. But when this apple, when it is picked or when it falls to the ground, that's the end. It's never going to mature any more than what it is at that point. And sadly, it's a little how it is in God's orchard as well. Hard times come and people do things that aren't right. They fall and there they lay. What a tragedy. But it doesn't have to stay that way. But unlike the apple, when it falls, there's no chance of ever abiding again. When we fall, we can get back up and abide in Him again. So the first point we want to look at this morning is there is no fruit if we don't abide. There is no fruit if we don't abide. And the fruit that we want to look at today is Christ-likeness. It's His life being formed in us. That's what we're wanting to look at today. In verse 4, it says, "Abide in Me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in Me." In the natural, that all makes sense. You know, we can take a branch, or we can take this apple. If the branch breaks off from the tree, and this apple's on it, the apple will shrivel up. It will never continue to grow. And it's the same way with us. If that connection has been severed, if there's something that has happened and we're no longer abiding, there will be no fruit of eternal life in our lives. We have to abide. And if we abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, what will we look like? Like Jesus. You know, this apple here, say it's been on the tree now for 3 weeks. Is there a chance of it ever looking like a pear? Or an orange? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But how about our lives? If I'm abiding in Christ, I say I'm His, He's dwelling in me, how can it possibly bring anything, how can anything else come out of my life than Christ? So it's a thing that it's a gauge that we should have. If there's something else coming out of my life, there's probably a good chance that I'm not connected where I think I am. We will never bring good fruit to God if we're not connected. And this can maybe be a little confusing for some. So do all the heathen or the unconverted, is there just nothing good in them? Is there just no good thing in any heathen or unsaved person? Well, we know that you can probably find something good in every person. Am I right? As bad as they might be, there's usually something good that you can find in their lives. Does that mean? What does that mean? God, there's no lasting fruit there. It's either in their own power or in their own strength that there's fruit. This kind of good thing is coming from their lives. There's no eternal value in that good thing you might find in them. But it brings no glory to God. It has no lasting fruit. It's not what God is looking for. God wants glory from our lives. In verse 5 it tells us, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So, talking about the heathen or the unconverted, if they're not connected, verse 5 tells us, "Without me, ye can do nothing." There, and it also tells us the same. If without him, you can do nothing. There's no good thing that can come from a person that is not connected to the vine. Not saying there's no good thing, but no lasting good fruit will come from that person. So if we analyze these two verses, there's no good fruit that comes from our lives unless we are vitally connected to the vine. The heathen might have some good fruit, but it will never do for eternity. So it's very important that we abide in Christ, abide in that vine, abide in the vine Jesus Christ. It's a must if we want to spend eternity with Him. We will never be like Christ if we're not attached. The second point I'd like to look at is in verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Wonderful words, right? Amazing words that we can ask God what we want, and He will hear our prayer. Isn't that amazing? By faith, we believe that, right? Many times we hear these words and we can get excited. But, you know, we can't just ask anything. This apple can't ask for anything, but say it could. This apple would never ask anything from the vine except what would be good for the apple. Is that right? And that's how it is with you and I. And that is what this verse is telling us. If we can ask whatever we want for our own good, for the good of our eternal being, and He will give it to us, He tells us. So verse 7, it starts with an if, though. If ye abide in me. That verse is true if we take heed to the if. But if we don't take heed to the if, the rest is all invalid as well. The if is abide. If ye abide. Abide in Christ. Stay in Christ. Unlike the apple stays connected until God disconnects it, or unless somebody like you and I come along and we pick it. But we have a choice. The apple does not. God will never disconnect us, but has given us everything that we need, that we will ever need. Like I said earlier, so the if in this abide does mean that we will never ask anything that will hinder our abiding in Christ. Last Sunday, Philip shared some thoughts out of John 4. And I would like to turn there and read a few verses as well. It was a couple weeks ago that I was reading here, and I was convicted of some things in my own life. So the story is here that Jesus is here by the well. His disciples went to town to get some food. And Jesus is here by the well, and here comes this Samaritan woman, and she comes to the well, and Jesus is asking her for a drink of water. And we'll start here in verse 10, and we'll read to verse 15. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? That living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which has given us the well, drank thereof himself, his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto her, to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So here we have, the question came to me is, so why do I then thirst for other things? Because Jesus clearly teaches us here that if we drink of His well, if we drink from the well that He has, we will never thirst for anything else. Why then do I at times thirst for something else? Does that mean I'm not drinking from this well like I should be? That was convicting to me. The answer is very simple, according to Jesus' words. If I drink out of Christ's well, I won't thirst for anything else, but if I draw from other places, I will. Again, talking about the apple, the apple can't help but to do what God has intended it to do. God has put it there, and it will continue there, like I said, until somebody removes it or it falls to the ground. Unlike the apple, we have eyes. And our eyes look around, and we see things. Things that look fun. Or we hear things, and that the flesh enjoys. But you know, that apple is just very content being an apple. He's not up there trying to be a pear. He's not up there trying to be something else. He's just an apple. And he's content being an apple. And that is what God wants from us. If we are abiding in Him, to be content in Him. To be content in Him. Just be what God intended for us to be. It's almost too simple. But that's God's heart for us. So now we have choices to make. It's like we have two wells we can draw from. Except we don't let our buckets down to get the water, but rather we open and close valves. Like I said, the apple has one source of life. That is through the tree that God gives it. As He is abiding on that branch, the life He is receiving will produce an apple. There will never be anything else. You and I will be the same if all we do is drink from the well that Jesus Christ, the well Jesus Christ. We will never look, if we want to be like Christ, and if we're drinking from His well, it will produce His life in us. But we have to stay abiding in His life. But our eyes, our senses, they consider what someone else or everyone else is doing. They sense they're missing out on life. They see other people doing it, and it looks like a great time. So instead of, we don't never reach over and turn off the well, the valve where God's well, but what we do at times is we turn open the well that comes from the world and get something that our flesh enjoys a little bit. And what we don't realize is when we open this one automatically closes. The two can never mix. The two will never mix. I can't open the well to the world halfway and get half life out of here. That's not how it works. When one is open, the other one is closed. That's the only way it works. We don't realize that these valves are connected. Unlike the apple that doesn't pretend, we do. We think we're getting the best of both worlds. But you know, spiritually, we're dying. If this thing would get some other, this apple would get some other source or some other liquid other than from the tree, it wouldn't survive. And neither will you and I. we are dying. And is there something in our lives, habits or thoughts or anything of that sort that we wish wasn't there? So the question is, where does it come from? Which valve? The valve that has the living water will never produce anything else but spiritual life. That's impossible. It will never, the well of Jesus Christ, the only thing that will ever come from that well is spiritual life. The other valve is different. Even though it can look 99% good, it's meant for you and I to die and go to hell. That's Satan's goal for all of us. But he knows he's not going to give us 100% poison and we're going to swallow it. So it's a little bit at a time. There's no one here that would drink from that well if it was 100% poison coming from it all at once. We wouldn't be tempted at all. So what Satan does is he mixes a lot of what looks like good with poison, and there we go. When I hear someone gossiping about a church member in particular, when should I turn that valve off? Next week? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And that kind of thing only comes from Satan's well. Do we get the picture? It can be 80% true what he is saying, or 90%. It can be mostly true what he's saying. But you know, unless that person that is telling you, of whoever it is, unless you can kneel down there and pray together for that person, I'm afraid it's gossip. I'm afraid it's gossip. And it's not going to, it doesn't come from the life. It doesn't come from the well of Jesus Christ. Even if it seems to be mostly true, it will destroy you and take you where you don't want to go. Christ wouldn't do it. And you can't drink from his well if you're doing that kind of thing. It's poison and it's meant to take you to hell. Abide teaches us that we can never drink from anywhere else but Jesus Christ. There's nothing about abiding that indicates that we can ever do anything else but keep abiding. Now verse 7, it tells us, ask what you will. We all believe that God hears us. God cannot lie. If we're abiding, this will be a reality in our lives. What a beautiful thing. If we are abiding in Jesus Christ, if we're abiding in Him, God has promised, by faith as we heard this morning, that we can ask those things that will bring fruit into our lives, that will help us to be what Christ wants us to be. We can ask what we want to and He will provide it. Amazing words. Ask what you will. But many times we can be wanting. We can be wanting God to hear and answer our prayers, and it seems there is no answer. And I think there's two things that can be happening. One of the two things is, He might want us to be that persistent widow that has to knock and continue to knock and continue to knock. That can be one thing. And the other thing is, we're not abiding in Him. We're not abiding in Him. You know, I give one example. There could be thousands of others. Can I be abiding in Christ if I listen to ungodly or fleshly music 2% of the time? 98% of the time I listen to good music, But 2% of the time, I listen to something that is fleshly or ungodly. Is that abiding? Absolutely not. Abiding means 100% of the time. Now, ladies, let's imagine you have two plants in your house. They're the same kind of plants. You bought them at the same place. They look the same. And they're just beautiful, beautiful plants. The one you're going to spray with, you're going to give water and some Miracle-Gro. And the other one, you're going to give 98% water and 2% Roundup. Do you think at the end of a month's time you could see which one is getting which? We say that's foolish. We absolutely. The one is going to flourish and the other one's going to die. But somehow in our spiritual life, we don't get the idea that even if it's 2% of the time, it will kill us. We will die. We will not make it. It has to be abiding. It has to be Christ dwelling in us. It's not, I can do this for a little bit, then I can do this for a little bit. Abiding is abiding. This apple would have never became an apple if he'd have stayed off the vine 2% of the time. It would have never been this apple. It would have never worked. It won't never work in our lives either. Somehow we can get it about the plants, but we don't think our spiritual lives that it matters that much. You know, the only person that you're fooling is yourself and your friends. Everyone else sees right through it. Everyone else will see right through it. Don't doubt it. All of us want God to answer our prayers, right? We don't want to just take some time praying and it's no big deal if God don't answer my prayer. We wouldn't pray it if we wouldn't want God to answer our prayer. And so if we want God to answer our prayer, it's a must that we abide in Him. Abide in Christ. It means all the time. You know, if we have fallen, there's hope. I don't want to give you a message of doom and gloom. There's hope. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Before we get to the third point, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 of 1 John 2. It says, "My little children, these things have I written unto you, that ye sin not." In other words, he's writing these things so we do not fall in sin. "And if any man sin," John knows that we're human beings. He knows that we can fall. He knows that there's things we can do that will sever that relationship with Christ. And if that is what has happened in our lives, he's telling us, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sin, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Isn't that beautiful? You know, we're not like this apple that if it gets a wind comes through, a storm comes through, something hard comes through in life, and it knocks it off from the tree, and it falls to the ground, and there it lays. It's done for. That's not what God has done for us. God has given us a remedy that we can once again get up, as painful as it might be, to get up and repent. That's His heart for us. He wants us to abide in Him. Now let's read on to verse 6. And in verse 6 is where we want to get our next point from. Verse 3 it says, "And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. And he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So the third point is, if we say we abide, we are obligated to walk the way that Christ walked. The word ought means, it's a very strong word. It means to owe, to be in debt, be bound by oath, be obligated, ought, and must. Those are some very strong words. If I say that I abide in Jesus Christ, I have a walk that I better be walking. It's like the strong says it's to be bound by oath, be in debt, to owe, to be obligated. Can I half-heartedly abide? Absolutely not. Can I half-heartedly walk my Christian life? Absolutely not. Not with words like this, to owe, to be bound by an oath. Half-heartedly will never, ever get it. It will never get it. It will cost us everything. It's going to take hard choices. So the question is, how important is it to you and I that Christ is formed in here? How does abiding in Christ look? Well, verses 3 to 5 that we've just read teaches us about abiding. Verse 3, it tells us, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we're keeping his word. The word keep there is another strong word. And I have a definition written down here somewhere. We'll probably get to it. This is a sign if we know him or not. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Here is the definition of what it looks like if we are abiding in Christ or not. Abiding is not choosing what I do and I don't do. Abiding is selling ourselves to the Father and never expecting to be our own again. We are keeping his commandments. Here's the definition for keeping. To keep, to guard, to obey, observe, to keep. Do I spend time with my choices? Do I take time to think of, okay, how is this going to affect me? In 10 years, in 20 years, this decision that I'm going to make, what will happen to me in 20 years? What will happen in my life? Because many times the short-sightedness of it doesn't look that different. But it will be, you know, if I'm off course by one degree, in 20 years from now, how far, what kind of a gap will that be? It's a big gap. It's a big gap. Again, none of us will just outrightly disregard one of his commandments. But we can do it in roundabout ways. Things that we know that don't please the Father. Again, we're looking at Christ's life being formed in here, in our lives, through abiding. By staying on the vine. How would this apple look if every chance that no other apple's looking, he would get off and could do something that he knows isn't right? How would this apple look? It would be rotten to the core, wouldn't it? That's what it is with our lives. That apple would never mature. Why do I think that I can mature? Why do I think that I can choose my life's path and spend eternity with God? That will never happen. If we say that we are abiding in Christ, our walk and our talk will have to prove it. Our actions will show it. Christ's life will be formed in us. Out of our bosom will come wells of water, living water, like Jesus said in John 4. Out of your bosom will come wells springing up into everlasting life. That is something that he told to the lady that will happen if we drink of this water. And it will affect you and I the same way. And we could tell people that if I'm in trouble, I know I can go there. I know I can find healing. I know I can be encouraged. I know I can whatever. Wells of water springing up out of our life. Is that happening to you and I? That's what God wants from our lives. Does our life reflect His life? Verse 4, it tells us, He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And 1 John 1, verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Basically saying the same things. You know, it would be better for us if we would never get born again than to have been born again now and have hidden things in my life that I'm not ready to talk about. That sounds like hard words, but it's truth. If we say that we are His, our life will show it. By who we choose as our friends, by the things we choose to do. And verse 6, again, the last four verses of this verse, even as He walked. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked, even as Christ walked. That is our goal here. These are challenging words. Even as He walked. In the last month, if Jesus would have been here and had all the opportunities that I did, and how would He have walked? What all did I do that He wouldn't? Talking about even as He walked. If Christ was here in my shoes, what all did I do that He wouldn't? What all would He have done that I didn't? What all would look different? We're talking about Christ being formed in our lives. My life reflecting His life. The things that I do would be the same things that He would be doing if He was here, even as He walked. That's a high standard, is it not? Are we ashamed of what He did, of what we did this last month? We say Christ lives in here, but would we be willing to take Him in person everywhere we went this last month? Would I listen to the same music? Would I have said the same words? Would I have tried to impress Him? Would I have looked at everything on the internet I did? Or other places as well? Would I have hung around the same people? Even as He walked. We're obligated. It's not just, maybe. No, we're obligated. We owe it to Him. We have a debt. We're obligated to do it. Brothers and sisters, no other life will ever last for eternity. It won't. We're obligated. Abiding in Christ is more than Sunday morning church services. So there's 168 hours in a week. If we get here at 9 o'clock for prayer and leave at 2 o'clock, that's 5 hours out of the 168. It takes far more than that. Far more than that. I don't know what your personal devotions look like. Let's say you read your Bible for 15 minutes every day, studying His Word to be more like Him. Then pray, getting on our knees to praying and asking God to form His life in us for another 15 minutes a day. So that makes another 7.5 hours in a week. Now we're up to 14 hours in a week. And it has to be more than that. It has to be more than that. Well, you think, say, well, what about sleeping? Think with me. If I lay my head on my pillow to go to sleep, can I be abiding in Christ if the rest of the week, the rest of the time, the rest of the day was for myself? These hours that I lay my head on the pillow, I'm sorry, they go accounted for the same thing. Now, if I'm abiding in Christ and I lay my head on the pillow, I will continue to abide in Christ. But if I'm not abiding in Christ when I lay my head on the pillow, I will not abide in Christ in my sleep either. It's not going to work. Our life will reflect, our day-to-day living will reflect whether or not we're abiding. What are our meditations as we fall asleep is probably a very good indication where we are abiding. If I'm thinking of my life, if I'm thinking of my children's lives, if I'm thinking of eternity, if I'm thinking of a Bible verse, if I'm thinking or I'm praying as I go to sleep, that's abiding in Christ. But if I'm thinking of fleshly things, of a joke I heard or a comic strip I read or whatever it might be, I'm sorry. That's not abiding in Christ. It's not abiding in Christ. Abiding is staying. I was going to show you in John 15 there. There's other words that are used there, and I'll just quickly get a few of them. In verse 9, it had told us that as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. The word continue is the same word as abide. In verse 11, it says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you. The word remain is abide. Does that help us with the word abide? Does that help bring clarity? It's remaining, that his joy never leaves us, abiding in him, that we never leave him, that we never walk away from him. Abiding, staying. Can this apple be a thorn one day and the next day be an apple? No. Never. Can we be any different? No, God does not mock. What we sow, that will we reap. Let's read a few verses in 1 John. I've just got a few verses here and there. Chapter 1, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, Jesus Christ his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. You know, we have a saying, what you see is what you get. In other words, there's nothing hidden. Or you're buying it as it is. We're not hiding anything. It's just what you see here is what you're getting. Or do we have a secret life that is hid? There's no way to have fellowship with Jesus Christ with a secret life other than a secret prayer life. There's no way. We will never prosper spiritually with a secret life. We aren't abiding in him with a secret life. Christ is not formed in us if we have a secret life. Psalms 85, verse 13, it tells us, righteousness shall go before him, and he shall set us in the way of his steps. Righteousness, right living, is set before us. If we live rightly, it tells us that he shall set us in the way of his steps. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a blessing? Matthew 11, some of my favorite verses. I got a few verses I'm going to read. We're talking about abiding in him, walking even as he walked. Verse 28, it tells us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Christ being formed through us, through abiding, taking our yoke upon Him. John 13, you don't have to turn to all of these if you don't want. John 13, I got a few verses there. And this is where Jesus is washing their feet. Verses 13 to 16, He says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." He's telling us, He's given us an example, and He was talking about washing feet particularly, but it's more than just washing each other's feet at communion. It's serving each other day by day. It's being there for one another. It's washing each other's feet, but it's more than that. He's given us an example. So we should do the same thing, one for another. 1 Peter 2, just some things that verses that tell us how He walked and what He did and how He's left us an example. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps." This pain-free Christianity, I'm sorry, will never work. Suffering is part of the life of Christ. And if we're going to be part of the life of Christ, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. It says He has given us an example to do what? That we should follow His steps. What is He talking about? He's talking about suffering. Christianity is not a pain-free experience. It's just not. That's not what we've learned from Christ. How can we be like Him without being like Him? You know, I almost hesitate saying these words, but I can't live like my family, like my how I was brought up, and be like Christ. I can't do it. I can't keep my old friends and be like Him. I can't do it. It will never work. The last point is, "Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not." And we get that from 1 John 3, verse 6. And it says, "Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him." And the word there, sinneth, is talking about living in continued sin. Something that we have these words earlier where He says, if we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father. This is talking about this isn't just talking about, there's something that I did wrong and I'm sorry and I'm repented. That's not what He's saying. But it is somebody that is continually living in sin. Again, the apple. If it stays on the tree, the only thing that it will ever be is an apple. Now, the well of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you thirst and you drink of my water, I'm scrambling for words here, but we will never thirst again. If we're drinking from the well of Jesus Christ, is it possible to sin? No. But it's when I go elsewhere, then I sin. Then I fall short. It's impossible to sin drinking from the well of Jesus Christ. Sinneth means to miss the mark, to do wrong, to do any act contrary to the will of God. That's a high standard. Should we lower it so I can enjoy a few things in life? So my flesh can enjoy a few things? we must keep this high standard. We dare not in any way, shape, or form lower it. That will never do in eternity. Sinneth not. How are we doing? Are we abiding in Christ? Is Christ being formed in here? Can you see Christ in here better than you could a year ago? I trust we can in each other's lives. It is a must. Do we just have to try harder? What does the apple do? It's up there on that tree and it's just really trying hard to be an apple, right? No, it's abiding. It's just staying there. It's just doing what God has created it to do. And that is how it is with us. If we do those things that God has created us to do, to bring Him glory, to worship Him, to do the right things in front of us to do, that's what we're... It's not about trying so hard to gain, to get somewhere, but it's just being. Seek Christ. If we crucify the flesh and seek Christ diligently, we will prosper. God isn't making it hard for you or me. The church isn't making it hard for us. And as a whole, our parents, your parents, aren't making it hard. We make it hard for ourselves when we fight instead of die. God is for you, not against you. My desire for all of us, I got a few scriptures here. I want to close up. 1 Peter 2. Verse 9 and 10, it tells us this. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That is my desire for our lives here as a congregation, as a unit to reflect that kind of people. In Ephesians 5, we find another verse. Ephesians 5, verse 27, and it says, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is the reason that Christ came to this earth, was to have Himself a glorious church, a people that He could live in. And that is my desire for us, that we abide in Him, that His life is formed in us, that we would reflect Him. That is my desire. And it's not, both of these scriptures are given as a church, not just as an individual over here and an individual over there. But it's as a church, and that's my desire is that we as a church would look, that this would be our, that we would reflect this verse. We will need each other. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. You know, you and I could be the only Bible that someone will ever read. Are we giving them a mixed message? Or is the message clear that it's coming from our lives? What are we giving? And there's one more verse. One more passage, I should say. It's a couple verses. In 1 John, verse 3, verses 14 to 16. And it's about abiding again. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye overcome the wicked one. That is how we do it, by the word of God abiding in us. That's how we overcome the wicked one. Then it tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if the one valve is open, the other one is shut. They can't both be open. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. How will we not be attracted to the world? How will we not be attracted to the world? The answer is in verse 14 there, where it tells us, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you. If God's word is abiding in us, if I'm drinking from the well of Jesus Christ, the world will become strangely dim. It will not have all of the attractions. There will be nothing out there for us to go after, because we will never thirst, as Jesus said, for anything else if we drink of Him. So let's abide in Christ. Let Him form Himself in us. We can't do it. We have to abide. We have to be connected. That's what we are to do. Abide in Jesus Christ. Abide in His Word. Why? So that Christ be formed in us. God bless you.